Thank you guys for coming in and doing worship this morning. The former youth pastor and me is very glad to see our youth up here and being involved. You are not the church of the future. You are part of the church right now. Well, good morning. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at Simonton Community Church, and I get to share the word with you this morning. Let me also take a half a second to do a welcome and announcements. Welcome. There's not really any announcements. If you need to know what's going on, Simontonchurch.org, Simontonchurch.org. You can use the QR codes in the back of the seat in front of you to connect with us in various ways. It is the end of the year. If you're so inclined to give, you can give through one of those QR codes as well. All that stuff needs to be postmarked at the appropriate times and things. And so here we go. Maybe you got a church email also this week, and you can also find out what's going on there. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8 this morning. And I just want to spend some time in a few verses here this morning. I actually only have 2 points for you today. They're not going to be on the screen, so you just have to listen. We're not dismissing anybody. We're all together. I'm not here for a long time, but I'm here for an important time to share this with you. So Acts chapter 8, we'll start in about verse, there it is, 26. Verse 26 would be a great place to start with us this morning. I'll read through it, and then we'll go back and kind of break it down a bit, because there's a lot going on in this passage, but here we go. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. And so he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian official, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join his chariot." So Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture, this is the passage of Scripture that he was reading. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life was removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture, and he preached Jesus to him. And they went along, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. But he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just find our place in this scripture today, that we could understand what it meant to those in that day and time and how it applies to us today. It's in the sweet and holy name of Jesus that we pray, and everybody said, amen. So there's a lot going on in this passage of scripture. We have Philip, and Philip has been sent out along with the rest of the disciples. They didn't really want to go that far from Jerusalem, so the Lord allowed a lot of persecutions to happen to spread them out. And now he finds himself being told by the Holy Spirit, "Hey, you need to take this road down to Damascus, from Jerusalem down to Damascus. It's a desert road. There's not a lot going on down there, but you just need to follow my instructions." And so he goes, and he runs into a court official of the Ethiopian kingdom, if you will, a eunuch, who happens to be the treasurer, basically, of the queen. Now, Candace was not her name. That's sort of like the the queen name that you get. As far as him being a eunuch or a court official, that could be a physical eunuch. That could be just a title that was given. Depends on how you study this and what the commentaries and things lead you to believe. It's not super clear. But what we know is he is a high court official of a kingdom who for some reason came to Jerusalem to worship. Now, all the original language in the scripture doesn't lead us clearly to think he already is a believer. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But we know he's at least a seeker. We know he's at least attempting to understand what's going on. Maybe you're here today and that's you. You're like, you're not real sure about the whole church thing, but you're here. You know that you feel like you're supposed to be here, and so you followed and you're here. But he is obediently trying to figure out what's going on, and he's reading a passage from what we call the Old Testament, or the Older Testament, if you would prefer to refer to it that way. And Philip is there, and Philip senses the Holy Spirit saying, go to the chariot and see what's going on. And he hears him reading this passage, and it's a passage that Philip is familiar with. And so he asks, you know what you're reading? And the guy says, well, how could I accept that somebody would tell me, somebody would lead me? And so Philip starts at that point in that scripture and preaches Jesus to him. Let me break that down for you. Philip starts in that scripture in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, as we know it today, and says, here's the good news. He takes him to Isaiah 53, which talks about things like Christ being a servant, the passion of the servant, the passivity of the servant, the portion of the servant, and how Christ came as a servant ultimately to serve us with his death, burial, and resurrection. And he preaches that to this man and uses that passage up until that point in day and time to share Jesus with him. Now, the man going along sees water and asks the question of baptism. Well, what prevents me from being baptized? Absolutely nothing. Now, this man, having at least some association with the way, Christianity, the way as it would have been called in that day and time, having been in Jerusalem at some point in time, would have seen somebody being baptized. Jews that were converted into followers of Christ would have been baptized. It would have been a cleansing that they would have taken, a mikvah bath. If you go to Jerusalem, if you go to the Temple Mount, and you look at the southern steps, just below the southern steps, there are, I think, literally like over 100 baptismal pools. And water would flow because it had to be flowing water, and it would fill those pools and then eventually flow out. And that's where ritual cleansings took place before you entered the temple. And so at some point, this man has seen this. This man has heard of this. This man has heard of new believers taking this step of obedience. And he says, what prevents me? And I love it. Philip is just very plain. There's not a lot of big words here. It's really very clear. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. He is Lord. And he's going to be Lord over my life. And so he makes his chariot. Maybe there were several chariots, a processional. I don't know. The scripture really doesn't tell us, but one could assume in that day and time, an official like that might have had a posse with him, made them all stop, and they go down in the water, and he gets baptized. He knows that this is a step of obedience. He knows that this is a step of marking being buried with Christ, that old life being gone, and that new life raising, just like Christ rose from the dead. If you had had a bulletin this morning, the sermon title would have been Out with the Old, In with the New. And so you're going to see a picture of that this morning here in just a few minutes as we actually have a baptism this morning. But I just want to call you to two points this morning. I want to call you to two things from this scripture that as I studied it, as I read commentary, as I looked at the notes in my Bible, as I looked at Isaiah 53 and just back and forth and spent time in this, there's really two main things that come out of this. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been baptized. You've come to church, but that's the limit of your extent of your involvement is you're an attender. And you've never given your life to Christ. You've never made that same statement, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And maybe today is the day that you hear that God loves you, that God has a plan for your life, that God wants to be in relationship with you, and that baptism is a public profession of that personal faith that you put in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe that is where you are this morning, and this is the first time that you're hearing it, or maybe God is making it clear to you, just like to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit opened him up through Philip and made the passage clear to him. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's time that you take that step of faith. It's a new year. It's time for resolutions. How many of you are thinking about making a New Year's resolution of any kind this year? I'm going to eat less sugar. No, I'm not. I'm going to exercise every day. No, probably not. You see, there's two problems with people that when they make resolutions of their own devise and their own strength and their own thought is one, they don't make a plan to actually do the thing that they're resolving, okay? And number two, they resolve to do something that's ridiculously impossible. You can't just go from I don't exercise to I'm going to exercise for an hour every day. You're going to get hurt fast. I'm going to eat less sugar. Well, if you have a plan, maybe it'll work, but you're going to get to the office on Tuesday, and somebody's going to bring some leftover goodness from Christmas or desserts or something, and about your second cup of coffee, you're going to give in. It's just how it's going to work. But Philip and his encounter with this eunuch, coming to faith in Christ, saying, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is now living in God's power, and is resolutely changing his life through picking up his life in Christ. Maybe that's you, and today your resolution and your resolution for this year is new life in Christ. And I would just say at the end of this service, if that's you, I would love to talk to you. Will would talk to you. Some of our other folks here, just grab somebody and go, what's this life in Christ thing about? I'd love to talk with you about it. Maybe your response, though, is a different response. Maybe your response is that you are a believer. And as a believer, your response to this passage should be, man, am I like Philip? Am I willing to go to the places that are sort of the ends of the earth places and share the gospel? We know that Philip had been to Samaria. That's not really a place that the Jews went to tell anybody about anything. I don't know, maybe you would ride by on your donkey and like hurl insults or something, but you didn't do that. You just didn't go down there. And yet it's those places when the persecution came and everybody spread out, it was places like that where the gospel was received the best. Maybe your response as a believer is, man, am I like Philip? Am I ready just to look at somebody and go, you know, hey, what'd you read in your Bible today? What are you studying? You want to talk about that? Are you like Philip, just being willing to say, man, I am scared to death, but I'm thinking the Holy Spirit's telling me I have to go talk to this person about God. Maybe that's a person in your office or in your neighborhood, or maybe somebody in your own household. Maybe that's one of your friends that you see that's sort of getting off in the weeds in life. And you're the one that needs to go off in the weeds and get them back on the road. Maybe you're here today and you love the Lord and you have a relationship with Him and you're a believer, but you just feel like you're spinning your wheels lately. And maybe what you need to hear today is, man, I got to get some traction on my wheels and I got to go do some things with this faith that I was given. It is more valuable than the cure for cancer, and I can't keep it to myself. Two interesting things as I thought about this passage and studied. One of the commentaries told a story about D.L. Moody. famous evangelist, Moody Bible Institute. There you go. He said he asked a man one day, "What about your soul?" And the man said, "My soul is none of your business." And D.L. Moody said, "It actually is my business because I'm called to make it my business." And the man said, "Well, you must be D.L. Moody then," because he had that reputation. The other story that I read was about Hudson Taylor. You may know that name because he started what is now OMF, and we support missionaries Nathan and Tina Keller from there. And Hudson Taylor was called to go into China and share the gospel. And in one instance where he shared the gospel, the man was so overjoyed to get the good news of salvation. He said, "My father searched and searched and searched for the truth, and he died never having found it. How long have you had the good news in England?" And Hudson Taylor had to stand there and say, we've had this news for centuries." And the man quietly said, "What took you so long to get here?" Church, 2024 is a new year. Starts tomorrow. Be a great time for you to make a resolution and a plan. Be more like Philip. Be more like that eunuch. Come to faith. Be more like Philip and take that faith and go do something with it. Philip is snatched away and he goes on further on in life, we know, and shares the gospel all over the place. And then one chapter over, Paul, Saul, becomes Paul, comes to Christ. One of the persecutors that spread everybody out from Jerusalem now becomes a very effective Christian. And guess what? Later on in life, Philip gets to host Paul several times and care for him and look after him, because God's got a plan. And he's got a plan for those guys, and he's got a plan for me, and he's got a plan for you. So I would invite you to consider your response this morning. I would invite you to consider that as I pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for today. We thank you for your scripture that makes it so clear. There's nothing that really keeps us from following you except following you. So, Lord, I pray simply that if there's somebody here that's never put their faith and trust in you, that this morning, today, this week, that they would put their faith and trust in you. That they would stop living their own plan for their life and they would start living your plan for their life. Lord, that they would use you as the center point of their compass in their life, that they would use you to guide them. Lord, I also pray for those that are here that have loved you for a long, long time, that they would keep you at the center of their life and that they would listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks and that they would follow you faithfully all the days of their life. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful profession of faith we're about to witness in baptism. Lord, that dying of that old self, that identifying with Christ in that new life. Lord, we thank you that there's nothing that keeps anybody from getting in the water. Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified in this act today, in these words today, in this worship today, in this giving today. Lord, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.